This is program C1137. It's New Year's Eve, so we're right at the tail end of 2019. And we have 153 days left until we fly off to Israel on the 1st of June, 2020. All the information you need for making this journey with me is on the website, intotheword.net. Look for the brochure hot link right there on the front page. Get that information all processed. Get registered. Make sure you bring your preacher with you, because I want to take a whole bunch of preachers so that they can come back and speak about their firsthand experiences in the land of the Bible that they've preached about so often. We're going to start today in Revelation chapter 14, verse number 9, as a bit of a recap of what we talked about yesterday. We have the notes that I use, the Living the Last Days Prophecy Seminar notes. They're on the website. Look in the PDF resource section of intotheword.net. I'm looking at page number 73 in the notes right now. And the heading that I've got up at the top of the page is Public Service Announcement Number 3, A Final Warning Not to Take the Mark. So we are looking at that time in the 3.5-year period where the beast leader has consolidated his power. He's got the 10 kings that are underneath him. He's got the false prophet who is supporting him in a spiritual fashion. And the mark system is being launched, where everybody on planet Earth that is under his control, at least, is being told, you must take this mark to show your allegiance, to show your worship, to show your loyalty, or you will be killed. But God has a counter warning, a counter announcement. And that's what we find in Revelation 14:9. Another third angel followed them, saying in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and takes the mark upon his forehead or his right hand, he will drink the wine of God's passion, which has been mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he will be tortured in fire and brimstone before the angels and before the Lamb. The smoke of their torture ascends into the ages of ages, and they will have no respite day and night, the ones worshiping the beast in his image, and anyone accepting the mark of his name. So that's pretty plain. God says, take the mark, you are done eternally. And this is so strong because this is the final confrontation between the forces of evil under Satan's leadership and the forces of good under God's leadership. And so you've got to pick your side is what is being said here. And God's warning is, don't pick the other side or you will lose your eternal soul. Now, at this point, we have a blessing put upon those who will be killed for refusing to take the mark. Verse 12, here is the endurance of the saints, the ones keeping the commands of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, how blessed are by God are the dead dying in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, in order they may give rest from their hard work, for their actions follow behind them. Now, I, as a preacher, have used those last two verses on several occasions to honor righteous Christians who have passed away, and we want to think of them as being specially blessed by God and how they have rested from all their labors that they labored for him on this planet. But that is a very generic application of this passage. The specific application is about those who at this point in Earth's future history, when hauled before some sort of council and told, take the mark of the beast or we will execute you, they refuse to take the mark and they are executed for their faith in Jesus Christ, for the fact that they worship no one but the one and true living God, who was and is and will always be. And so we should keep that specific application of these words in our minds. It is here now, after the Mark of the Beast program has been put in place, or it's ready for launch, and God has given his warning, don't take it, because if you do, you can come back to me from that. There's no repentance. That we can now unseal the scroll of God's wrath, his final wrath. So Revelation chapter 8, verse number 1 says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now you remember this scroll. It was in the hand of God the Father. It was sealed with seven seals. No one had the right to open it. John the Apostle cried over that fact because he knew that until this wrath had been poured out, we couldn't move on into eternity. And then Jesus steps forward, God the Son, and he's died and rose again. He's paid the price, so he has the right to open the scroll, open the seals. So he starts breaking the seals. Now, the first few are introductory. We've got the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which is introducing the bad guy and all the chaos that he's going to bring. The fifth seal was all about those who had died for their faith in all time past, wanting to know when God was going to bring it all to a close. When was he going to avenge their blood? And they were told, just a little bit longer, once the full number of those who are going to die like you die have come in, then my wrath shall start. So we know that the 144,000 were that number that God was referring to. Once those guys are dead, we are now ready for the seal, the seventh seal, to be broken. Now, the sixth seal, which I jumped over just now, was the beginning of the final 3.5 years. So seals 1 through 5 are introductory. It's a heads up of what's coming. Seal number 6 is the beginning of the 3.5 years. And seal number 7 is when God says, partway through that 3.5 year period, all right, enough is enough. Here comes my wrath. So when the seal is broken and the scroll rolls open, there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. There's a lot of speculation about this. I'm going to give you my suggestion, which is all I can do, is that in the worship service of the temple, there was twice a day a time of prayer. And this was a time when the incense was offered and a prayer was offered inside the temple. And it is likely that there was a time during that where things got quiet as everyone prayed in their hearts along with the prayer that was being offered inside the temple. So I think it might be a play on that ceremony that a lot of Jewish people would have been familiar with back in the time of John. But we also have this idea that some time has to be given for people to contemplate who are they going to side with. Are they going to take the mark of the beast and side with the dragon? Or are they going to refuse to take the mark of the beast and side with the lamb, the son, the seed of the woman? And so I believe that we've got a lot of tension right here in verse number 1, as everybody that has been given this choice makes it. Verse number 2. I saw seven angels who had taken a stand before God, seven trumpets were given to them. Now these are the seven trumpets of God's wrath. They will be exactly paralleled with the seven bowls or containers of God's wrath that will come up later in the book of Revelation. And in my notes, I highlight the language that parallels these things so well. And I think it's easy to see them as being kind of partnered up in that in the temple complex, trumpets were sounded as a signal that things be poured out of containers. So the trumpets are the signal and the containers are poured out. So we're going to have the wrath of God being orchestrated by these trumpets. Verse number 3, another angel came and stood at the altar. This would be the prayer altar, with a golden censer. This would be an incense container or a container for prayer because of the symbolism. Much incense was given to him so that he could offer up the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense of the prayers of the saints went up from the hand of the angel before God. Now, do a real quick review. It was under this altar that we saw the martyred saints earlier making a prayer request. What was that? How much longer, O Lord, until you avenge us? So they were told back at that time, you have to wait until the full number has come in. Well, that full number has come in now because the 144,000 are dead. And so now the prayers can be answered. And that's exactly what's being presented here, is that the prayers are being offered up to God for answering. Now, parallel to this is what's going on in the vision in Revelation 14. And verse number 14 says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and sitting upon the cloud, one like a son of man, and in his hand a sharp sickle. This appears to be Jesus. Another angel came out of the sanctuary, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, send your sickle and harvest, because the hour to harvest has come, since the harvest of the earth has dried up. And the one sitting on the cloud sent his sickle into the earth, and the earth was harvested. And another angel came out of the sanctuary. He also had a sharp sickle. We'll get to him in a moment. This harvest is the follow-up harvest to the first fruits of the 144,000. And what I mean by that is the 144,000 were the first to die for the name of Jesus during the final 3.5 years. And then they are followed by those who die for their faith because they refuse to bow their knees to the beast leader and take his mark. And so this is the harvest of righteous martyrs. And Jesus collects them in to his barn, that is into his heavenly presence. And once that righteous harvest has been gathered in, we have another harvest that is taken. Verse number 17, another angel came out of the sanctuary in heaven. He also had a sharp sickle. And verse 18, another angel, the one having authority over fire. Keep that in mind. We're going to see a parallel in a moment. Came from the altar. That would be the prayer altar. Excuse me, not the prayer altar. This would be the sacrifice altar. And called out in a loud voice to the one with the sharp sickle, saying, send your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because the grapes are at their prime. The angel sent, and the word is literally threw his sickle into the earth and gathered it from the vine of the wrath of the earth and threw them into the great wine vat of God's fury. So this is where we get the phrase, the grapes of wrath. The whole Grapes of Wrath thing that came out early in the 1900s about the Great Depression and all of that and the Dust Bowl days, that was a very loose use of this term. Because the wrath here is the wrath of God against those on planet Earth that have taken the mark of the beast. And so they're about to suffer for their choice. And verse 20 says, the wine vat was trod outside the city, and blood went out from the wine vat as high as horses' bridles for 1,600 stadia. And a stadia is roughly 607 feet. It's going to be about 183 miles, 184 miles that we're talking about here. But the question is that a diameter of an area or is it a radius of an area? There is a big difference between the two. But I do believe that the center point of this wrath event is pretty clearly Mystery Babylon. And so I think this is the city of Mystery Babylon, the city of Rome, and I believe it's a reference once again to the destruction of Rome at the hands of the beast leader, the beast government, and the false prophet. And the description of horse chest high blood is a reference to just how many people will die in this event. Let me give you something that I ran across just as a slightly interesting possibility. And it's interesting in a sad way. Let's make that very clear. That if the beast leader chose to destroy the city of Rome and all the potential rebels against his kingdom that might be there with a nuclear weapon, let's say a 50 megaton nuclear airburst over Rome, it would not just simply obliterate the city, but it would desolate the entire central portion of the Italian peninsula. And this seems to be roughly the same sort of area that we're talking about with this 1600 stadia. So that would be my speculation, is that this is a reference once again to the destruction of the city of Mystery Babylon, or the city of Rome. Now, I want you to go to Revelation 8, 5, and remember what we just read in 14, and listen to these parallel phrases. Revelation 8 says that, having taken the censer, the angel filled it with fire from the altar. So we had an angel that was over the fire, and he was going next to the altar. And he threw it into the earth, and remember that the sickle was thrown into the earth as well. And there were peals of thunder, sounds, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And so this might be, again, some sort of reference to the judgment that falls on the city of Rome, which might have served during the first part of the 3.5 years as the headquarters for the revived Roman Empire, the kingdom of the beast, and the headquarters of the false prophet worship of that beast leader. Then Revelation 19, after these things, I heard something like the great voice of a crowd of many in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation, glory, and power to our God, for his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great prostitute who was corrupting the earth with her immorality. He's avenged the blood of his servants shed from her hand. So that fits the theme that we've been developing, that the wrath of God, as it starts to be shown against the beast leader's kingdom, one of the first events is taking the city of Rome out. And a second time they said, Hallelujah, her smoke ascends into the ages of ages. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his servants, those who fear him, small and great. So it would appear that God has now dealt with the prostitute that had been riding upon the beast. The false faith is at an end. Revelation chapter 15 now, verse number 1. I saw another great and marvelous sign in heaven, seven angels with seven final blows. Now that's the word that I translated it as. The word in Greek is actually the source of our English word plague, plage. And that's why in some English versions it'll say the final seven plagues. But you should keep in mind that it's actually talking about being whacked as part of some sort of corporal punishment, a spanking, if you will. So this is a reference to the wrath. It's the final wrath of God. And so these seven angels who are going to have the vials or the containers are exactly parallel with the seven angels that have the trumpets of God's wrath. So the seven angels with seven final blows, because in them God's wrath came to an end. I saw something like a glassy sea mixed with fire, and those overcoming the beast, his image, and the number of his name standing on the glassy sea with the liars of God. So here are all those who have died because they refused to disobey God. They refused to take the name of the beast. They refused to bow the knee to anyone other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were singing the song of Moses, God's servant. And you can go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Moses taught the Israelites a song of obedience to God. And so here it is being sung as obedience to God here. And the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Yahweh Tzabaoth. That's God's military title. He is over the armies. Tzabaoth means armies. Righteous and true are your ways, King of nations, or King of the ethnic groups. Who should not fear you, Yahweh, and glorify your name? Because you alone are holy, because all the nations will come and worship before you, and because your righteous actions have been made clear. And then after these things I looked, and the sanctuary of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And I've shared with you before, every place that the word sanctuary in the book of Revelation is referenced is about the eternal heavenly place of sanctuary. It is the throne room of God. It is the presence of God. It is the holy, eternal temple of God. There's nothing in the book of Revelation about some sort of temple on earth. It's all about the sanctuary of heaven instead. And the seven angels with the seven blows came out of the sanctuary, dressed in bright, clean linen, and their chests wrapped with golden belts. You might remember that's how Jesus was dressed in chapter number 1, when John first saw him. He was dressed as a high priest. So these are priestly angels coming out to pour out God's wrath onto planet Earth. Verse 7, one of the four living beings gave to the seven angels seven bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives into the ages of ages. So one of the seraphim, one of the six-winged angelic beings that we also met early on in this story, he's the one that presents each of these seven angels with God's final wrath to be poured out. And then verse 8, the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. No one can enter the sanctuary until the seven blows of the seven angels were completed. Now, immediately, those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament should relate that last portion there with the dedication ceremony of the tabernacle and of the first temple. That when God's presence came down and filled that place, it ran the priests out. They could not be in the temple or the tabernacle for a period of time because God's holy presence was taking care of business, was doing something that they could not participate in. And that seems to be what's going on here as well, is that once God starts this process of pouring out his wrath, that's the only thing that's going to be gotten done. No prayers, no petitions for anything else are going to be responded to. God's wrath has to be finished before we can move forward. And so we should keep that in mind as well. All right, we're almost out of time for the day, so I don't really want to get started too quickly into the next section, but I would recommend that you do this. If you don't have the notes, which you can easily get, if you don't have them and you want to use your Bible, then get yourself a couple of markers. I'm talking about paper markers. And put one in Revelation chapter 8, verse 6, and the other Revelation 16, verse 1. Because we're now going to be able to parallel the pouring out, the trumpeting of God's wrath, and see that all these events are the same. They're just given slightly different details in the two passages. So in Revelation 8, we will have the seven angels with the seven trumpets preparing themselves to trumpet. While in Revelation 16, we will have those that have the bowls being told, proceed, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath into the earth. So the trumpet will trumpet, the bowl will be poured out, but the wrath will be the same in both stories. It's just different perspectives of the same thing. Well, I'll see you tomorrow as we get back into the Word.